Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on current events, trends, market reports, and community discussions. Join us each week from Tampa, Florida, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Patrick Kelly.
Hey, produce people, welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Kelly. As always, I am honored to be here, coming to you live from Tampa, Florida. Today is December 12th, 2022, and we are 2 weeks out from the end of the year, less than 14 days from the Christmas holiday, everyone, and we are ready for a jam-packed New Year's Eve. Couple announcements before we get started. December 21st, 2022, we will have our final virtual networking hour of the year before we move into our new format, which will be inviting retailers and wholesalers on to talk about their business and for you to learn about opportunities and challenges within the industry. Let's not forget the FBFC had their annual luncheon last week, and they talked all about the apprentice program the FBFC has in store. So check out last week's podcast so you can hear more from Blair Butterworth and Ray Mullenby. Now today, we've got two very special guests for their first podcast ever. We have Lisa Allen and William Goldfield of the Dole Company. Now we're going to talk pineapples, we're going to talk fresh berries, we're going to talk about added value pan-seared items, and a company that has had a brand for over 100 years in the produce and supply chain industry. And last but not least, we got to give a shout out to Shea Myers, Owyhee Produce, and Buck Naked Onions, a fancy sponsor of the show, who also runs the Produce Common Sense podcast that's giving you drop-down knowledge of farming, agriculture, business solutions, and more. So check out Shea on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, and more at Produce Common Sense podcast. Hey, Lisa. Hey, Bill. Welcome to the show today.
Hey, Patrick. How's it going?
Hi, Patrick.
What a great experience today. You know, it's so funny, you know, when you think of Dole, there's so many things that you think about. When I think of Dole, I actually think of the steamship line. For years, I imported pineapples into the United States. And guess what vessel I was on?
You were on the Dole vessel.
I was on the Dole vessel. So I have been able to communicate with so many of the Dole staff in Costa Rica and bringing pineapples in. So it's great to have a new experience, learn from Dole. And, you know, when Dan Avakian brought you guys to the table, he was like, listen, we got to get Dole. They're a great company. They do so much different things. I didn't even know all the different divisions that you have. I literally thought pineapples was like the main state of Dole. So it is fun for me to learn more about companies that you really only think there's one side about. Am I right? I mean, you think of big companies or wholesalers and you think, oh no, they're stapling tomatoes or they're stapling asparagus. And then you learn, oh no, they have 3,500 different items in these different divisions. And it starts to round out the portfolio and really see an impact in the produce and supply chain industry. So I'm happy to have both of you on. I'm happy that we were able to meet at the IFPA Global Summit in October of this year. And I'm ready to chat. I'm ready to learn more about Dole. So I would love, you know, for each of you to let us know who you are and to the community who don't know who you are. And Bill, we'll start off with you. You know, how long you've been at Dole, you know, and then we'll move over to Lisa.
Okay, sounds great. My name's Bill Goldfield. I've been with Dole about 15, going on 16 years. I do the communications and global PR for the company, mostly across North America, but again, globally. That includes all of our social and all of our press and marketing communications.
That's amazing. And you said 15 years going on 16 years. Now, let me ask you a real quick question before we get into Lisa. Have you been doing marketing and PR for 15 years?
I have. Yeah, I have always been. I came in from the fruit division. That's where I started with Dole. So bananas and pineapple, you know, you talked about pineapple earlier. That was my main course of action and how I got introduced to the company. And then for the last 7-8 years or so, I've kind of been more on the corporate side. I still do work for every division, but also from Dole corporately. So a little bit of everything, but I got a pretty thorough understanding of us from the US side, the North America side, and then worldwide.
So my next question is very short question to answer is how many podcasts have you done? And is in your work of PR, how many podcasts reach out to you and have tried to do this, what we're doing today?
Well, I'll start with the second question. A number of podcasts have reached out to do what we are doing today, but we have not accepted any of those until now. So you get to be the first one with the exclusive Dole conversation.
Hey, and I appreciate that. You know, coming from a longstanding relationship with Dan Avakian, the produce and supply chain industry is about relationships, creating relationships, and helping build our industry together. So, you know, from the bottom of my heart and Dan's, I mean, we appreciate that. And I know that you've been a supporter of Dan Avakian and vice versa for so many years. So it's always great to see that media has changed a little bit and we're focusing more on digital and marketing strategies versus just the papers that we were so used to, right? I mean, how many times did we literally sign up and make sure we got the Produce News, the Packer, right? All these, I would say maybe about 4 inches thick of newspapers and magazines coming to the office. And now it's changed a little bit. So I'm glad to hear that we're all changing. So I appreciate that, Bill. Lisa, yeah. Let's talk about you for a moment.
Okay. Well, I have definitely been here less years than Bill. I've been with Dole a little over 5 years. And previous to that, I was in retail grocery. So I am the director of brand marketing for Dole. And I actually am located in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is not nearly as fun as where Bill is on the West Coast in Southern California. But so my role, if you think about the Dole brand, that's basically, I'm like the brand police. So whether it's on our packaging, internal documents, external, I am the one that's sort of making sure it's meeting all of our guidelines. I have a team that's responsible for all of our packaging design on our salads, our banana stickers, our pine tags, our berries. So I have a team that's managing that. And of course, a shopper marketing team, which is very important because they are the retail arm for us in our business. And so that's me, I guess, quickly.
I hope that your business card literally says brand police. Like,
I think it should. I think
it my should. Gosh, you need to change your tag on LinkedIn. Like, you need to change it all to brand police. Like, that is so you. I've not heard that before, but it's so true because there are stipulations when it comes to big brands and corporate brands. You it's very one little thing, right, Lisa? One little thing can make you redo your whole print, right?
Well, I'm probably the one that aggravates most people internally because I'm like, oh, you can't use a logo that way. And they're like, what are you talking about? I don't even see it. So definitely, I think that's where the brand police came from. I'm always looking and watching whether they want me to or not.
I have to bring something up because I can. I used to work for Robinson Fresh, and it was we back then. They had the Tropicana label. And I remember when I worked for Robinson for only about a 2-year stint. And that's what happened to me all the time, Lisa. I would just go on Google and type in Tropicana, boom, 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 boom. And I would pull the logo. Oh my goodness. The brand police were always all over me. They were like, where did you get this logo from? That's the juice logo. That is not the fresh logo. And me, just this little old citrus guy was like, what are you talking about? It's Tropicana. And I just remember so many times that they would do that. And I guess, you know, foreshadowing, looking back, yeah, you're 100% right. It should be used in its correct form. So we do need the brand police out there, and we do need the market strategist to let them know, you know, how and when they could use it. Because in my case, there were sometimes I did a post, right? And it would be the Tropicana juice logo, which is completely different than the Tropicana Fresh logo. So
yeah, you're the brand nightmare.
Oh gosh, that's my
that's your business card.
That's my new one, the brand nightmare. Well, now it's so true because I've got this brand with the Produce Industry Podcast, and we actually, in our sponsorships, as you know, we give you the right to use these logos. And you are correct though, Lisa, because we want everybody to use the logos and use the trademarks in the correct way. Am I right?
Correct. Well done.
It's critical. It's really critical to make sure they're right, because the logo gets emblazoned on so many different things. If it's not the right one, it could be problematic.
And when you're dealing with a logo like Dole that is iconic and the age that it is, over 100 years old, you want to make sure it's used properly.
I was going to ask that. How old is Dole? Do we have an exact date, or are we just going to go with over 100 years? I'm okay with over.
We were founded, the company that is now Dole, it was a different name at the time, but 1851 was the founding date.
Wow.
So yeah, we're quite a few years into this.
And everybody, just so we're clear, Bill has been working there since 1851, everyone. So
don't we look good? Oh, thank God you can't see us.
That's why I said, Lisa, you notice I said Bill. Like,
I can take it.
Oh, listen, what was that? The Fountain of Youth has blessed Bill very well in there Southern California. And, you know, Lisa, I got to bring that back up. I'm having a great time here in Tampa, Florida. You know, I used to live in Southern California for a few years. Bill, I get it. But I'll tell you what, there's something about being able to go to the beach and not wear a wetsuit. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. That is... We do have cold waters in Southern California. There's no doubt.
I tell you, you know, being in Florida now for 4 years, that's one of the things my kids do love, because we would travel from the Central Valley, or even, you know, I used to live in Huntington Beach, and it was like, you guys want to go to the beach? It was almost like a no. And now it's like, you know, hey kids, you want to go to the beach? And it's like, yeah, let's go. It's like, can we stay longer? Because it is the water is like 80 degrees over here at some point. Yeah, so
that Gulf Coast water is the best.
I'm just saying, Lisa, you get it. You're on the East Coast. You understand some of the vibes, but you also get a little cold weather up there as well. So I won't push it too much on you, because I could go to the beach, you know, today or in January, and it'd be perfectly delightful, as I would say. So living in Florida, winter in Florida is different. Sometimes it's cold and sometimes it's beach weather. So it's always an amazing experience. But if we think about Dole, 100 years old or plus 100 years, I've talked to many companies, immigrants that have come over from the Netherlands or from Italy, and they started their businesses obviously in other countries and then formulated the business here in the States. What are, you know, there's so many divisions, and I say this because I'm learning so much more about Dole, but what are, you know, these products that Dole has? I was really, you know, drawn to you about those new pan-seared items. My buddy worked for your fresh berry division. So I'd love to talk about that and give our listeners, you know, for those of our listeners out there that, again, I think of Dole, I think of pineapples, right? What are those products out there? So if a normal consumer is going to the store, what Dole products can they look for?
Sure. So the core part of our business, and what you're familiar with, as you said, are pineapples, bananas. Absolutely. Those are kind of the oldest and longest standing products that we've had, starting from, you know, the late 1800s, early 1900s. But we're also in, as you mentioned, berries, all the berry types, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, and blackberries, and then an extensive line of vegetables, the wet rack items that you would see, whether, you know, naked or bagged, and then an extensive line of value added salads and kits and blends. And then, as you mentioned, these, the cooked vegetable kits that we have now, which
sheet pan meals,
which we're really excited about. They came out in earlier in 22 or late 21, and they come in a couple different flavor varieties, and they're just fantastic. You add your own protein, but all the vegetables are in the bag. They're in the fresh produce section, and it comes with seasoning, and you cook it, and you get a meal for four, and it's just good. Fantastic. Yeah,
they're amazing.
Those are kind of our core products, and then we have all kinds of other, you know, minor products, or, well, I call them minor, just they're not the same level of distribution that we have on them, but across citrus and avocados and all types of other products that you can imagine. And we sell them in over 75 different countries around the world. So pretty big operation.
Yeah, that's amazing. And even as you look at those pan-seared items, I got my son, Because my son's he loves to cook. I'm going to throw this out to you, Lisa and Bill. My son came to me and told me what he wants to be when he grows up, and he's 11. And I was like, yeah. You called it.
Really?
He goes, I want to be a chef, Dad. I'm just like, oh boy, here we go. And
that's
so
awesome.
It's crazy because I start to think about that. And I was a dishwasher as a kid and I worked in a restaurant, right? Come to some of our first jobs. And you should see him cook. We start him off with HelloFresh, right? HelloFresh is easy for him because he could read the directions. All the ingredients are there. And I showed him the pan seared items and he's like, can I do it? And I was like, well, of course you can. And he's like, okay, I'm going to make it. So he has this love for cooking. And I think it's because he wants to see how it's made. I don't think it has anything to do with it's almost like when I make it or mom makes it, he asks too many questions. Like Lisa, he'll be like, what'd you put in there? What'd you do? Why does it smell like that? But then when he's doing it, he gets into it and he's just like, he'll grab like the sour cream that, okay. Yep. That's yep. Fresh. And you start watching him and it's really intriguing to watch this 11-year-old kid get so fascinated with cooking food. And coming from someone who has taken a very long time to like food, like I said, I'm 6'1", I'm 160 pounds. I have a very high metabolism and it took me years to get into certain foods. Heck, I would say even into my 20s, I didn't eat Brussels sprouts or different things compared to now my 30s. I have tried so many new items. And even with, cooking kits like HelloFresh and pan-seared items, it opens the opportunity to cook more and experience more fresh fruits and vegetables. Am I right?
Yeah. And I think your key on this and for your son as well is cooking with produce, because it's just a whole new generation that has access to such a wide variety of produce. And it just makes all the difference in cooking. I mean, I remember I read a quote somewhere from, I think it was Chef Jose Andres, and he just said, look, chicken has no flavor, in and of itself. The flavor's in the produce. You can put seasoning on some proteins to make it good, but in and of itself, they're fairly tasteless. You need the produce to make your dishes flavorful. So if you've got your son who's already engaged in produce, I mean, he's way ahead of the game. So fantastic.
Well, he's got his dad here that, trust me, with all the produce that I bring home. And I mean, with a studio like this, I mean, it's full of produce. How could you not? I mean, I'm not shoving it down his throat, but when you come home with a dragon fruit that's pink and he's like, what's this? Right. He gets so excited about it. And that's what's so cool about it. And Shay Myers, have you heard of Shay Myers out there? The agripreneur that's the onion farmer out of Idaho.
Not familiar. No.
Okay. So Shay is, they're also a sponsor of ours, Buck Naked Onions and Owyhee Produce. And I remember, Shay came to my house about a month and a half ago and I go, we have a dilemma, Shay. And he goes, what's the dilemma? I said, my wife always wants to put two onions in the meal instead of what it calls for the one. And he goes, no, put in two. I said, yeah, but then you got more onions. He goes, yeah, but you're ready, but your protein will taste better. So now we will literally, if it calls for one onion, we add two. And we do that because exactly what you just said, Bill, it helps flavor the rest of your meal. I mean, I can tell you, if you just boil chicken in water or just fry it on the pan, it's not going to be the best tasting chicken you've ever had. It's going to taste plain. Oh, it might even taste like a little bit of pumped antibiotics.
Right.
And Patrick, I love that you're talking about kids and food because that's such a passion for Dole. And Melanie Marcus, who is our dietitian nutrition, is so great at coming up with some of these amazing recipes for kids, just like your son, to make at home. And I think getting our kids in the kitchen and more involved in food, I don't know that my 20-something-year-old kids right now would know what to do with a dragon fruit, to your point. And shame on me as a parent for not doing a better job. So I feel like our generation, not mine, but maybe theirs, is doing a much better job of helping our kids recognize the importance of fruits and vegetables. So Dole is really proud of that.
That's awesome. And I can't wait to get some of those recipes out there to the community. If you're listening out there, we will get some of these Dole recipes and we will post them for you. But right now, let's take a quick break. Let's hear from our sponsors and then get right back to talking innovation and what's in the field and on the horizons with Dole.
Discover orchard freshness on Amazon Fresh with Arctic Apple Slices. Arctic Apple stays orchard fresh longer than other prepackaged, pre-sliced apples. This means less waste and no more half-eaten apples. Plus, you'll love the undeniable freshly picked flavor. Arctic Apple Slices are available in convenient grab-and-go bags in both Arctic Golden or Arctic Granny varieties in select markets on Amazon Fresh. Packable, snackable, 100% irresistible.
Are you ready to enhance your skills? Every day we are tasked to make fast, effective decisions to keep up with the fast-paced produce industry. At Ag Tools, we take the pressure off of gathering data to help make your day easier and more enjoyable. Connecting the supply chain with Ag Tools is unique, practical, and easy. Ag Tools can be used from multiple angles of the produce industry, from farmers all the way to logistics companies. We call that 360-degree decision-making day after day. Visit us at www.agtechtools.com to gain more reliable and relevant data to see more, achieve more. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everyone. It's always great to hear from our sponsors, dynamite companies creating dynamite content for the produce and supply chain industry. If you're just joining us now, we've got Lisa Allen and Bill Goldfield of Dole, and we are talking to a 100-plus-year-old company that is providing fruits and vegetables around the globe. So Lisa, Bill, welcome back.
Thanks. And just to rectify, we are not 100 years old, but the brand is.
The brand is 100 years the old. Brand. Which the brand itself, the company is almost there, but you're right. The brand is, and you're having a great time with all the products in this brand, says the brand police officer, everyone.
Yeah. That's right. You better believe it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about innovation. Again, the pan-seared items was a new item that came out this last year. Thought that was very cool. Out of the box thinking, it wasn't a frozen item. Like you see a lot of frozen items that just go in the frozen fridge. You know, Bill, you made mention that it's in the fresh produce department. And I think that's how we build a lot of these categories. You know, even the companies like Fresh Cravings that has salsa. Would you rather go get the Tostitos brand that you know has been sitting on the shelf for 4 months, or would you rather go into the fresh produce department and get fresh salsa, right? Even though we know all these items are still good, but how much preservatives that we put into it, how much product we put into it, we still want to get somewhat fresh. Now, remember, everyone, frozen is still fresh, but we want to make sure that we capitalize in the fresh produce department so you're not always having to go down 6 or 7 different items and get those things on your shopping list that you don't really need. So when we talk about innovative products or new comings, what can we expect or what's Dole doing?
To your point, Patrick, there's no better time to be in fresh produce or produce in general. And so at Dole, we're not ones to sit back kind of on our laurels and just say, this is good enough. You know, we're constantly looking at new ways to help bridge this consumption gap that we have in this country and other countries as well. But so we're looking at ways, and innovation is just kind of part of our DNA. So whether it's, you know, as Lisa talked about earlier, recipes and different usage ideas for products that you may think you know all about, and there's no other way to prepare, and you know, there's only so many things a potato can do. Well, if you tried replacing a potato with a plantain, you know, they're very similar. So why don't we look at, you know, innovations we can do with produce you think you know. There's different varieties of bananas, for example, that have all different flavor profiles. So, you know, if we can market those and see which ones maybe are even more flavorful for banana bread than your typical Cavendish. Are there new ways to use different products at different parts of the day, right? Everybody thinks that, you know, their salads are for dinner and their bananas are for breakfast, but what if you flop those? What if you figured out a way to make have some greens with breakfast and your bananas as a dessert or with dinner or something like that? There's a lot of innovative ways to provide your produce that might be a little bit out of the box. And that's what we're always trying to think about and innovate here.
You know, I gotta bring that up. So when you think about breakfast, you never think about having a salad at breakfast,
right?
But you think about microgreens, right? One thing that I've been challenging myself with this year, Bill, is I'm an omelet guy. I make omelets probably 4 out of 7 mornings, and on the weekends, oh, I'm like the omelet king. My gym that I go to a jiu-jitsu gym, and I always invite people after class. I'm like, hey, you guys want to come over? I'm cooking omelets. And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But when I cook my omelet, it's onions, it's sweet peppers, it's salsa. And I now have challenged myself in my studio to the left of me, which you guys can't see. I have this little microgreens. I mean, I'm going to call it a little vertical farm. And I'm going to start growing microgreens, because now what I'm going to do is I'm going to put microgreens on top of my omelets, because I need a little bit more veggies in my omelet, but I wanted to incorporate some type of greens that wasn't your traditional greens. Am I right? So even putting microgreens on, romaine, I don't see me eating a romaine salad at 8:30 in the morning, but I definitely see adding microgreens to your meal, right? To kind of, I would say, well, balance it out, right?
Right. And you could do, I mean, to your romaine point, grilled romaine is fantastic. Yes. And there's no reason you couldn't do a grilled romaine chopped finely and added where you may have spinach or you know, your microgreens. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Slaws are another great way to get, some heated lettuce into an omelet or something like that. So there's all kinds of different things you can do. I think to try to experiment and right now, again, I think to the influx of cooking shows and things like you were talking about with your son, it's no better time to experiment with trying new things that may not have been something you would have been taught, as a child or in years past.
I agree. And I know for a fact, and all of us, I guarantee you, when you think of the two words, Brussels sprouts, back in the days, you would just boil them, right? You would just boil Brussels sprouts. I hated Brussels sprouts back then. Like you're going to laugh. So my mom came over about a year ago and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. And it's Sunday. I was like, I got you, mom. And she's like, what are you going to cook? I'm like, we're going to have Brussels sprouts. She's like, you cook me Brussels sprouts, I'm going to spank you. And I'm like, what? And I'm like,
not mom, your Brussels sprouts, mom.
Thank you. So I cook her Brussels sprouts, and I got this recipe from others, but you air fry your Brussels sprouts and you kind of dose them in either pecan oil or olive oil or even grapeseed oil, because it doesn't burn as fast, right? Soak mm-hmm. them in there, maybe put a little bit of pork rub on them, give them a little bit of flavor, add a little bit of vinaigrette, let that season for a good 10 to 15 minutes, get the air fryer going, pop those in the air fryer. It's going to be about 22, maybe 24 minutes. At the end of the 2 minutes, 2 minutes left, pop that thing out, sprinkle some bacon bits in that air fryer as well. Get those bacon bits nice and crispy. 24 minutes comes out, pop this out, sprinkle feta cheese on it with some sugar-free maple syrup. You have a dish. My mom texts me like the next day, oh my God, I need an air fryer. And can you send me that recipe?
And the recipe.
Yeah.
And recipes, I mean, they're key. And I feel like I'm going to repeat myself, but Dole is all about making the world a healthier place. And part of that is taking some of the recipes that are very traditional that you've seen, whether it's and I'm going to say social media, TikTok, some of those hot, cool recipes that you see influencers and bloggers doing, but making them healthy, taking a version of them and making them the healthier version, because that's what we're about. That's our platform. And we want to have those fun recipes that are cool and hip, but on that healthy version and making them so they're family friendly, and even getting your son in there trying those too.
And that's what it's about.
Yeah, I was just going to add to what Lisa had said. We actually have one of our salad kit recipes on our website that you throw in a blender with a little tomato juice and you make it into a gazpacho. So it's our Southwest salad that we have, that if you blend it with tomato juice and then add a little bit of the dressing at the end, you have a delicious gazpacho, and it's a great way to get your salad without having to sit there. And for you know, people who are entertaining for the holidays or anytime, I suppose, it's a great kind of appetizer dish to put out there for guests.
We're not
passionate about our recipes or anything, are we?
Listen, I can tell, just like I'm not passionate about Brussels sprouts. It's funny because my buddy Ross Nelson, and we hang out a lot, you know, in work and out of work, and we'll go to restaurants and the first thing he says is, oh no, check the menu. If they don't have Brussels sprouts as a side, Pat might be out. And because I love Brussels sprouts at this point. And we'll get to a point where my wife and I will anywhere. I mean, Del Frisco's, like, think about some corporate chains, right? Outback, they all have Brussels sprouts. And my wife and I will go to order. And I'm like, yeah, we'll have a side of Brussels sprouts. And she'll like, I get this. Ready, Lisa? Are we sharing that or is that for me? And I'm like, we'll take two orders of Brussels.
She said, this is yours and this is mine.
Yeah,
it's true. And it's like, but we've come to a point where we now know what we like, right? And if we know they're not boiled like they used to be, right? They might be pan seared, they might be air fried, but it creates a better experience. And then when you get home, guess what? You want to try those recipes and you try to recreate them because you want that same experience.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. And that's what drives a lot of the innovation that we do. I mean, getting kind of back to the innovation question you originally asked, is we'll use that inspiration that we find in restaurants and we find in other places as the way to then say, hey, how do you recreate this at home? Let's build a salad kit around this flavor profile, or let's create a recipe that jumps on this TikTok trend or whatever. So you can do this and not miss out on, you know, all the benefits of produce and still enjoy something, you know, that maybe traditionally is not a, you know, healthy meal or a nutritious meal or just tastes great, but there's a way to enjoy it and there's a way to do it at home.
I agree with you. I mean, I am not a yogurt fan. I just don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. I just, my son doesn't like it because texture, but ready for this, add some blueberries, add some strawberries and add some granola. That kid's going to kill a whole pint of yogurt.
Yeah. And that's all it takes. Again, the fruit becomes a vehicle for you to enjoy something, mm-hmm. you know, or veg, then absolutely it's worth the, it's worth the juice. The squeeze,
it's worth it.
The juice, I should say. Yeah.
Literally, no pun intended. Right. But no pun intended. think about Thanksgiving too. So my Thanksgiving was very different this year. All my Thanksgivings are very different. My wife and I lived in California away from her family for, geez, over 14 years. And so we never had family holidays. We would always travel for the Thanksgiving. We would always find the restaurants that served Thanksgiving meals. And we did that this year. We did not cook Thanksgiving. We went to Cracker Barrel for Thanksgiving. Lisa, you might know Cracker Barrel because you're here on the
I'm a Southern girl. I know what that is.
You know a Cracker. Oh, let me tell you, their Thanksgiving was dynamite. I'm telling you right now. But my wife was like, hey, they gave us a little scoop of cranberries. I'm like, uh-huh. She's like, what did you use it on? I'm like, I dipped it in everything. And she's like, what? She looked at me like I was crazy. Lisa, she was like, she looked at me like, what do you mean? I was like, get a piece of turkey, cranberry on top. Get some stuffing, cranberry on top. And then she, by the time I, you know, sure, she's laughing at me. I look over at her plate. She has no more cranberry left on her plate.
Yeah, she's about to tell you what's yours is hers and what's hers is hers.
Yeah, what's hers is hers. Yeah, trust me, I've learned that more with the Brussels sprout situation more and more. You got to start ordering more. But even things like that, like showing my son, like, hey, you can put cranberry on turkey. It's not the regular taste in your palate, but it's definitely an experience that you'll like. Right. And you got to try something at least once, right, to know if you like it or don't like it. So, and you know, a lot of times.
Interesting. Oh, I'm sorry. I totally interrupted you. I was just going to say, it's interesting. If you were to ask my children growing up, I always had a no thank you bite rule at my house. You may not like it, but you were going to at least try it one time. And 10 times, almost 10, I shouldn't say that, say 9 out of 10 times, they ended up eating whatever that no thank you bite was, all of it.
That's a cool notion. Well, you know, my family, we don't have New Year's resolutions. Because I always say, like, biting your nails, or I'm going to go to the gym, or all this stuff that everybody always cancels, right? Right. But my thing is, try something new. That's our New Year's resolution in the Kelly household. It is try something new. It doesn't matter what it is. So this last year, we tried different items, right? We tried things, right? We even went to different, like, my son and I got involved in jiu-jitsu. We tried it. He didn't like it. He's now moved on to flag football, but myself, now I'm 6 months in, right? There were things that I'm going to try 12, you know, every month I'm going to have mangoes, right? So I make myself and our family try something new, because if we don't try something new, then we're never going to know what we actually like and dislike.
I think that's a brilliant strategy, because until you've experienced something, everyone has an opinion on anything. And most of the time they haven't experienced what they have an opinion on. So at least if you're going to have an opinion, back it up.
Back it up. I agree. I 100% agree. And it goes to everything in life, right? In the last 3 to 4 weeks, I rode a mule for the first time. I was on a trip in the Dominican Republic and I had the opportunity to ride a mule. And the gentleman looked at me and he goes, "You ready?" And I go, "Nope." And he goes, "What do you mean?" I was like, "I've never been on one of these things before." And he goes, "What?" I said, "I have never ridden a horse. I've never ridden a mule. It's not my cup of tea." Oh no. About 35 minutes in, you see me.
He's like waving the lasso.
They started calling me the Marlboro Man. They're like, here he comes. And I'm sitting there like, I got to ride a horse now. But it got to a point where I just thought, I really thought to myself, it would hurt. Like, I didn't want to be straddled around a horse, and I'm 6'1", I'm a bit taller guy. And so I was like, am I going to fit? And then all of a sudden I did it. Now I'm texting one of my friends up in Virginia. I'm like, "Oh my God, I got to come visit you on your horse ranch. I got to ride a real horse." Like, now I'm like,
I can't wait to see Patrick next time. He's gonna have a big cowboy hat on and boots.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I've got a nice looking safari hat. They call it my Indiana Jones hat, but it definitely gives the look of the Marlboro Man. I can't pull off the cowboy hat and the cowboy boots, but I can definitely pull off some hiking boots and a good looking hat. But it was fun though. It was trying something new and getting out there and being creative and having fun. So, and I think that being in produce, that's what it is about. And, you know, trying new things, having fun, trial and error, test theories. If they pass, keep going with them and keep testing them and keep having fun.
Yeah. I think that's my key. Notion. I think you have to, I mean, when you go into a produce department now, there are so many options that no one can say I'm bored or I've tried everything, or, you know, there's always something new. And I would encourage everyone to try everything at least once. Experiment, try cooking it a different way, ask your produce managers, you know, in the store. They are the best authority of what's on the shelves.
100%.
So ask them how to eat this, how to prepare what you've never had it before and you really want to enjoy it. What do they recommend? I mean, that knowledge is invaluable that they have. So, you know, tap into it.
I agree. One thing I'm going to shout out to my mango people. I'm so sorry. I really am. But there's something I tried new this year is I tried buying the parfaits with mangoes inside. Every single one that I did, they were hard. And they have to do that because obviously if you cut mangoes really, really ripe and put them in those added value products, they're really hard to maintain the quality of the mango. Yeah. So now what I do is I buy mangoes, slice them up, and then I put them in there. But even trying things like that, I traditionally wouldn't buy those, but I did. I tried it, and now I know I stick to the other items and know I have to bring mangoes home, cut them, and put them inside the yogurt at home. But I never would have known that if I didn't just buy it, right?
Correct.
So listen, Bill, Lisa, it's been great having you on. You're going to be back for more in the future. We've got a year of fun sponsorships, fun episodes. We're going to do some cooking videos. We're going to have you on the podcast again. But if anybody wants to get a hold of yourself, the organization, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, you can find all the great recipes that Lisa was talking about at Dole.com, or you can visit us on our LinkedIn site, which is at Dole Food Company.
Amazing. And everyone, look for the recipes, look for the fun, look for the innovation, and look for the excitement. And as I say, we'll see you in the fields and on the horizon.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast with Patrick Kelly. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get new, fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.